There will be weeks to come when I won't be able to fit your entire text for the day in the bulletin. You know, in Isaiah, as we move forward in this book, there'll be times when we look at larger passages of Scripture than others. I know when we were in chapter 6, that we cut that up into pretty small bites. But we'll be looking in some of these succeeding chapters in some larger chunks of the book. So you do have your text today in its entirety in the bulletin, Isaiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. You follow along as I read our text for this morning, Isaiah 7, 1 through 6. In the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not yet mount an attack against it. When the house of David was told, Syria is in league with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. And the Lord said to Isaiah, "Go out to meet Ahaz, you and Shear-Jashub, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field, and say to him, 'Be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands at the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised evil against you, saying, "Let us go up against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it for ourselves, and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it." Now in the previous weeks, as we have looked at Isaiah 6, we saw the scene of Isaiah's commission for ministry in the year that King Uzziah died. As we enter chapter 7, we fast forward to the time of Uzziah's grandson, Ahaz. And we'll find that Isaiah, as we go through this book, will jump back and forth in his chronology several times. Now, we have seen Isaiah describe the spiritual crisis that faced Judah in the first five chapters of this book. Chapter 6, as I said, describes Isaiah's vision of God and the cleansing from the altar of God that allowed him to be committed to go and preach to a people who would not listen. And now when we get to chapter 7, we find a political crisis starting to take place. Now the Assyrians, A-S-S-Y-R-I-A-N-S, the Assyrians have been threatening the Jews. They are a great and mighty nation. Pretty much anybody that they've wanted to walk over, they've walked over with very little opposition. They have been threatening the Jews, both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah for some time now. The northern kingdom, Israel, or Ephraim, as it is described in our text today, has decided to enter into an alliance with the Syrians. Not the Assyrians who are threatening them, but the Syrians, who are also in places called Aram, or the Arameans. And they've decided to enter into an alliance with these ungodly people in order to face the Assyrian assault. And they have made entreaties to Judah and to Ahaz to join them in this alliance. And so far, Ahaz has refused. And so this Syrian-Ephraimite alliance decides that they're going to come up to Jerusalem in order to remove Ahaz from the throne. They intend to install the son of Tabeel in his place. So what they're intending to do here, they say, well, Ahaz won't enter an alliance with us. We're not strong enough to face the Assyrians. But maybe if we get the people of Judah, along with the people of Samaria, along with the Syrians, the Arameans, we can get all of us together in one alliance, then possibly we can withstand the assault of the Assyrians. Now, we don't know anything about Tabeel. We don't know anything about his son. But we do know this about them. They are not of the lineage of King David. Note that Ahaz represents the throne of King David, the line from which Jesus will come. It is imperative that a descendant of David remain on the throne in order for the promises of God to come true. This is just one of many assaults against that line of King David. We see several others in the Old Testament. But God's promise is that a deliverer would come from the lineage of King David, not from the lineage of Tabeel, whoever he is. And so it's important for the redemptive plan of God that Ahaz continue to sit on the throne in Jerusalem. And it is at this point, when Ahaz and the people of Jerusalem are shaking like trees, like leaves of trees in the wind, they're scared. They're scared of what's going to happen. It's at this point that God sends His servant Isaiah to proclaim His message to Ahaz. And Isaiah is also told to take his son with him. A son with an important name. That name is Sheher-Jashub, which means a remnant will return. Now, Isaiah, he gets to name his kids all kinds of weird names that have an impact and have meaning. And this is one, Sheher-Jashub. His name means a remnant will return. Well, that name in and of itself denotes the judgment that is coming. As Isaiah has been saying in the first five chapters of this book, there is judgment coming. But even though judgment is coming, the promise of Sheher-Jashub is that a remnant will return. A faithful remnant will return, even after the time of judgment. A faithful remnant will return and will reestablish the people in Jerusalem. God is going to keep His promises to the line of David, even if the line of David proves to be unfaithful. And so Isaiah goes out along with his son to meet King Ahaz at the upper pool. Now it's important to note this upper pool is part of Ahaz's preparation for a time of siege. See, this is part of the water supply of the city. Ahaz is making sure that they'll have lots of water in case the city of Jerusalem comes under siege. This would be an important step to take if Jerusalem is attacked. And as such, we find that Ahaz, even though he's shaking with fear, is taking physical steps to defend Jerusalem against these enemies. And enemies that consist even of his own brothers. The people, the northern kingdom, northern Jews, the Ephraimites. And I want you to see that the message that Isaiah gives to Ahaz is counter to what Ahaz is doing. Ahaz is busy working out the defenses of the city. And Isaiah tells him that instead of doing that, he needs to trust in God. Now, when we read the words, be careful, this does not mean make careful preparations. In fact, the Hebrew could actually be rendered instead, be careful to do nothing. See, he is told, Ahaz is told not to mount a defense, but rather to trust in the one who is his defense. Be careful, be quiet, do not fear. That's akin to what we see elsewhere in Scripture when we read, be still and know that I am God. Now, next week, we will see that God has already allotted an end to this threat. God is going to take care of the threat. All that Ahaz needs to do is to trust in the Lord's ability to deliver. That's all he needs to do. Now, possibly, Ahaz doesn't fully know what is at stake here. I believe that Ahaz is thinking only of his own political future. How do I remain on the throne? How do I beat off this threat? How do I keep reigning? How do I keep my kingdom running? But God is thinking in terms of His redemptive blueprint. Ahaz will remain on the throne, and further descendants of King David through Ahaz will continue to remain until the ultimate Son of David, the Son of God, Christ Jesus, will enter the world. Ahaz only sees that his own political future is in the balance. But God has already planned out and seen what He is going to accomplish in Christ. And so this is a case where Ahaz's well-being is also tied into what God wants to accomplish in redemption. Ahaz has only seen this from his view. Ahaz says, I want to remain on the throne. There's this threat to my kingdom. God wants Ahaz to remain on the throne as well, but for a different reason. Not because of what Ahaz is going to do, but because of what God is going to do through Ahaz and his descendants. And Ahaz needs to learn this lesson. He needs to learn the lesson, there is no army strong enough to defeat God's purposes. There is no weapon forged that can frustrate God's plans. There are no forces of evil that can conquer the kingdom of God. Jesus actually, when he talks about the church, and talks about the importance of the church, says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. There are times when the church looks weak, but it's really, really powerful because it's led by a powerful warrior Lord. This is a time in Judah's history where Jerusalem looks weak, but it's under the protection of that same God. God is going to accomplish His plan. And that's the message that Ahaz needs to hear. And it's also the message that we need to hear. Too often, we act as if we need to fret and worry and plan and scheme and act if things are going to work out. We often see only with our limited vision. And we do not see that God's plan and purposes are far greater than we can imagine. We might be tempted to engage in unholy alliances, just as Ahaz was, thinking that this is what is required for things to work out. We might think, well, unless we go along with this, then our plans are going to fail. Ahaz may have been thinking that. Or we might instead try to force our own agenda and try to get what we want done, even though it might run counter to God's plans. See, instead of fighting and fretting and worrying and all that, we should hear and we should obey. Be careful. Be careful to do nothing. Be quiet. Do not fear. Think of the amount of wasted energy that has gone into anxiety and fear. Think of all the wasted effort that has gone into busy work, especially when it comes to our own salvation. We need to recognize that not only is effort not needed, it actually runs counter to the plans of God. He wants for us to be still and know that He is God. Instead, we work and we strive and we engage in all kinds of behavior that we think will gain us merit in His eyes. Yet all along, He just wants us to trust Him with childlike faith. He wants us just to climb up on His lap and find our rest in Him. Oh, But you might say to me today, you don't know my troubles. You don't know the adversity that I face. Let me ask you this. Is what you face as bad as having two kingdoms come up against your kingdom to throw you off your throne? That's what Ahaz faced. Some might have even said that if Ahaz had gone along with what God said through Isaiah, that Ahaz would actually be abdicating his kingly responsibility. They would have said, well, Ahaz, you're the king. You're supposed to worry about these things. You're supposed to make sure our defenses are good. You're supposed to make sure we have enough water, enough food, and all the weapons are sharpened. You need to make sure there are no breaches in the wall. Ahaz, that's what you need to do as the king. There would be people who say that to Ahaz. And yet God tells him the exact opposite. God tells him through Isaiah, Ahaz, now is the time you need to trust in me. Really trust in me. And show that you are actually trusting in me by abandoning your work and letting me deliver your salvation to you. That's what Ahaz needed to hear. That's what Ahaz needed to do. Ahaz needed to quit working so that God could show his power. Ahaz needed to quit worrying about his own glory as king so that the glory of God would be seen. See, if Ahaz mounts up defenses and strengthens the walls and has all his troops ready and they fight a battle and they actually turn back these people, then Ahaz and people will say, hey, look at us. Look what we did. Look how powerful we are. Look how wonderful our army is. But instead, God doesn't want that. Instead, wants Ahaz just to stop. Be careful, do nothing. Be quiet, don't fear. Wait on me to deliver you. And then when God delivers, all the glory goes to God. When God turns back the enemies, then the victory is God's. It's not the armies, it's not Ahaz's. It's the same way in our salvation. Nobody ever saved themselves. That I would go as far as to say that the only thing you contribute to your salvation is your sin that you need to be saved from. We don't get saved by walking down an aisle. We don't get saved by being dunked in the tub. We don't get saved by saying the right prayer. We don't get saved by taking a preacher's hand. We don't get saved by asking Jesus into our heart. We get saved because God makes His residence in us. Because God shows His power in us. Because God brings us out of darkness and into light. Because God brings us from death to life. Salvation is of the Lord. His conviction comes upon us. His regeneration comes into us. He replaces our heart of stone with a heart of flesh. He gives us the new birth. And because of that, we trust. And if we're working and striving and trying to do all sorts of things, trying to make God happy by our effort, then He doesn't get the glory. But when He saves us in spite of ourselves, when He does a work in us that we can't do, that we're incapable of doing, then He gets all the glory. So it was a message for Ahaz here. It was an important message for Ahaz to show how God was going to protect Jerusalem. But the message is also for us. It's God who is protecting us from the wiles of the devil. It is God who is delivering us from the darkness of sin. It is God who just wants us to be careful to do nothing. Be quiet. And do not fear. So that's what we need. We need to show our trust in Him. We need to allow Him to save us without our trying to get in the middle of it. We need to be careful to do nothing. We need to be quiet. We need not fear. As such, we need to put all of our trust in Him and rely on Him and Him alone for our deliverance. Are you ready to do this today? Are you ready to quit trusting in whatever it is you're trusting and trust in Him alone? Are you ready to take your hands off of your own life and to let Him control your destiny? So that's what Ahaz had to do. Ahaz had to say, I'm going to take my hands off my kingdom. I'm going to turn it over to God. I'm going to take my hands off of this city and let God defend it. I'm going to quit doing what I've been doing. And in simple faith, I'm going to trust Him for deliverance. Same message to us. Maybe you've been working real hard trying to figure out how to please God. Maybe you've been trying to tick off all the boxes. Read my Bible today. Prayed today. God's got to find some merit in that. Went to church today. Got perfect attendance in Sunday school. God's got to give me brownie points for that. Doesn't buy you anything. The only thing that saves us is the completed work of Christ. And we just trust. Simple childlike faith. We say, yes, I know Christ can save me. I'm allowing Him to save me. And it's not any work that I'm doing. Let me just pose that as a question to you. What do you trust in today? Ahaz might have been trusting in the water supply and the walls and his army. God says, no, don't trust in any of that. Trust in me. You may be trusting your good works, your good will. God says, don't do any of that. Trust in me. Would you take your hymnal now? 320 is our hymn of invitation. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Quit looking at everything else. And turn your eyes on Christ and let Him do His work in you.